Tennessee, a Military City USA radio program. And Mark, my goodness, we've got people up before breakfast in the Pentagon right now. They're already checking in from the Pentagon and from Canyon Lake and all kinds of places out there.
Yes, and CC's on the line too. So
okay, Colonel CC, that's right.
That's right. Good morning. We are joined this morning by Major General Fred Rudesheim, Commanding General of U.S. Army South. And U.S. Army, we're going to be talking about Army South, but first of all, let's talk about General Rudesheim. Good morning, General.
Well, good morning to you all.
And you've got an interesting bio, so let's start off. You were born in Panama.
Right. Born of American parents in Panama. And the most succinct way I can put as to why or how that happened was that my dad was seasick, and I found myself born in Panama. To fill in a couple of the blanks.
Yeah, there you go. You created a pretty good hole there. Go ahead.
My dad was a private in the Army going through the canal before World War II en route to Hawaii on a troop ship. Seasick, very seasick. And they got aboard ship in Panama and asked for volunteers 6 foot or taller to place the howitzer guns on top of mules. You had to be tall, and they wanted to have some volunteers, and they were allowed to appropriate some soldiers who wanted to volunteer. My dad was seasick.
He'd do anything to get off that
ship. Had enough of that, got off, and stayed in Panama just 55 years before he finally left. Met my mom down there, another American, and I was born and raised there, and didn't come to the United States until college.
But it prepared you for, that's part of your command now.
Absolutely.
So you know
guess
it pretty well.
Guess where Army South was? Right there.
Exactly.
And I was around them my entire young life.
General, what was it like growing up in Panama?
Well, it was, first of all, it was from anybody's perspective, I was in my hometown. That's what I knew. That's what Wright felt like. But my perspective, and I figured this out after I came to the United States and have lived here since, my perspective was different, not like a number of our fellow Americans that have grown up elsewhere and then come to the States. But
so you weren't necessarily ready to just accept the status quo because people told you that that's the way it was.
Well, I had kind of a different perspective on things, and I came to the great state of Texas,
I was going to get to that, and I was going to rib Mark a little bit about God, he's at Ohio State, and
yeah.
He bleeds that blood and what have you. Well,
By the way, you and I
are both orange blood, and you got to Austin as quick as you
could.
That's
right. That's right. Just
yes,
like they say, I'm not a native Texan, but I got here as fast as I could.
And which region of the NCAA tournament is Texas playing in this year?
Oh, there's certain things I just don't feel comfortable talking about right now. And
that's top secret.
That's probably one of them right there.
Remember, I said before the show, if we can do anything humorous, let's do it.
Oh, okay. Well.
There we go. All right. So back to UT. What'd you major in at UT?
I was a political science major at UT. I had gotten an Army ROTC scholarship. I had my only living relative in the States was a sister that lived in Dallas. Part of the reason I chose Texas. Some other folks that I knew had gone to UT and come back to Panama to say what a great place it was. And so that's where I found myself. Found myself in UT majoring in political science and ROTC, commissioned after 4 years, second lieutenant in the United States Infantry.
But it says here that you were a military graduate. You were in political science, but
right.
You went in on the ROTC program, so it was all one combination of a program.
Right, right. Just like ROTC is even today, you're a student at your university or college, and then you're a member of the ROTC program, and then ultimately, if you successfully complete the program, you're commissioned into the service.
Well, so, you just provided one excellent opportunity for some recruiting there, because we love to recruit on this program, sir. And so, speak to. Have you had some decent encouraging education opportunities, sir, while you've been in the service or as you move towards the service?
Of course. I mean, first, let's just talk a moment, because you're giving me the opportunity. ROTC is the single largest source of commissioning that we have, not just for the Army, but virtually any service. The academies, of course, are the most visible, but they're virtually dwarfed by the numbers that we produce in ROTC. We wouldn't be able to actually populate our military with officers if it was just from academies. So we have great, fantastic officers coming from our academies, my son being one of them. But ROTC is a significant piece of how it is that we're able to keep great leaders coming into the military. So it's an absolutely fantastic opportunity for anybody so inclined.
Got a question for you. Since your first really foray into the United States was University of Texas, back in Panama, was there much excitement about American football?
Well, there was, but I gotta tell you, Mark, it was time delayed, and mostly on the radio. As I got into my late teens, they finally started showing it on television. So that's one of the reasons why I was a latecomer to football and actually to just being a fan of, you know, of any sport, because it just seemed kind of distant to me. You know, in Panama, the sport was baseball. Everybody, there's Panamanians have a number of actually a significant number of
most Latin America is extremely popular.
Yeah, and of course, and the other big sport is soccer. So those were sports I grew up with.
You do know that a Mexico City team played in Little League baseball and hit one of the only perfect games that ever happened in Little League baseball. You're aware of that, right?
Well, I would say no.
That did come out of Mexico City.
But it wasn't Panama.
No, yeah, it wasn't Panama. It was Mexico City.
But back to your career. Step us through your career. You've done a variety of things. You've got a Ranger patch on your uniform. And so describe the various things you've done in the Army.
Yeah, that's a challenge. I don't want to put anybody to sleep here with my bio. Let me just say this. I've had a fantastic, fantastic career. I'm now at the point after 31 years of service, I just look back and I'm one of those that said it flies by. And I used to hear senior officers saying it all the time, and I'd say, come on, you know, you're really old, and you can't tell me it's flown by. But it has. I mean, I've had a chance to serve in Europe. I've had a chance to serve in Korea. And when I say I served, it was actually my family, because my lovely wife Peggy joined me. We got married soon after I got to Germany and went back and married her and brought her over. And we had a lovely three-year stint in Germany, 2 years in Korea, all over the United States, ranging from the Pentagon to Fort Hood three times. So I've had a chance to be in Texas a number of years in my career. So it's been a fantastic opportunity, and then also when duty called, we went to Iraq for a year, the very first year of the war, and then later I went a second year when we went back almost a decade later.
General, you noted that your family was the one that was doing the service, and I'd like to ask you to cover that a little more thoroughly, sir, because in all of the opportunities that we've had to visit with your folks, everybody seems to say that the military is extremely supportive of the family, understanding of the family, lots of organizations back home to serve the families. How has your family been served, sir?
Well, first of all, we realize, and certainly the Army as a service realizes, and I would pay deference to all the services that I think they understand as well, but I'll speak to the Army. We understand the importance of the family. You can recruit a soldier, but you're going to retain a family. And you've got to be able to reach out and support families. We've got to be able to be responsive to families. It's an extremely difficult job. A lot of separation, a lot of hardship. And either you have the support of your spouse
or you don't.
And when you don't, there's a high likelihood that you will not continue to serve.
One of the things we note about you is, and it's very useful for your mission, is you speak fluent Spanish.
Sí, me defiendo en español. Así que si quiero hablar español, lo puedo hacer igual que inglés.
Yeah, I defend myself in Spanish. Spanish was my first language. So it's a good hook, as you can imagine, when I'm speaking to folks, because if your audience could see me, you probably wouldn't expect me to speak Spanish, or certainly not
Not fluent Spanish.
Not what comes out of
it. But when you're in an elevator and people are talking about I won't use the word here, but the guy standing beside him, you know exactly what they're talking about.
Well, my first platoon in the Army gave me some insights. I had two soldiers from Puerto Rico that were in my platoon, and their English was limited, and so they spoke to each other mostly in Spanish, and they didn't, of course, know I spoke. So I kept quiet for about 3 weeks and just listened to all the inside gossip before I let them know. So it does come in handy.
Where were your parents from? Your dad ended up in Panama,
right.
But where was he from originally?
Schenectady, New York. He was raised by his grandfather, who was a master machinist for General Electric. Yeah, General Electric.
And where was your mom from?
And she was from Pennsylvania, in Havertown, Pennsylvania.
Because I know
your dad must have really wanted to get off that boat. If he is that far north and he was in Panama, and of course you got one season down there, hot and hotter and wet and dry, right?
No, it's hey, listen. Now you're talking about my native country there. It's an awesome place to live, and he loved it. And by the way, John, Panama is one of those favorite spots for a lot of Americans. There's a lot of expatriates in Panama. A lot of them are retirees there. It does have two climates, and it is very muggy. But there's a lot of goodness in Panama as well. It was the first home of Army South, and we've had Americans there for years.
Well, it's time for our Toyota break here on Military City USA Radio, and we are interviewing Major General Fred Rudersheim. He's Commanding General, United States Army South at Fort Sam Houston Joint Base, San Antonio. John Thurman here of Heart of Texas Realty, and Mark Fry. And I understand we have our number one sponsor out there on the telephone. How's things going at Toyota Bernie today?
Well, everything's great, John. How are you?
Who am I talking to?
It's Sean.
It's Sean. Okay. No, it was filtered, and you didn't sound like yourself there. But yes,
good morning,
sir.
Chad. How are you doing?
We are doing so phenomenal here this morning. We're having this program all about the Army South here, and the general obviously has some people. We've got all of us have begun to have our texting during the program with people that are contacting us and enjoying the show out there. The show is continuing to blossom, and thanks to people like Toyota Bernie that make it possible. But what's happening at your store today?
Well, we've got a lot of great things going on at the store, but I do want to touch on a couple of real quick things, especially for those military that are out there listening. Toyota Bernie is a family-owned, family-operated Toyota dealership just outside of San Antonio. We're just minutes from 1604. And the big thing that we are about is service. And regardless of whether or not you're getting an oil change or a tire rotation or an alignment, number one, I want to stress, number one, is pricing. Our pricing is as competitive as any independent you're going to find out there, but you get so much more. You get the free loaner cars anytime you need it. All you need to do is make an appointment. Every single time you bring your car in for service, we wash your car for free. Plus, you get the Hill Country waiting areas. Plus, you get all the, probably about $1.5 million in technology, training, Toyota-trained technicians. And, oh, by the way, you get our people, and that is the one thing that we are the best at, is we have the best people in the industry. If you want to come and get a world-class experience from world-class trained technicians, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Make the short drive to Toyota Bernie, but go ahead and check us out on our website. If you want to know a little bit more about our family, go to ToyotaBernie.com. The entire story about our family, what we're about, is on ToyotaBernie.com. We are so military friendly. This year will be our fourth annual Turkeys for the Troops. We're looking at giving away another home to a wounded warrior. And, we just want to be a good steward of our military, and I really believe that we are.
Well, each of the past years, you started out planning to give away about 500 turkeys, and you had to order more that year because it was more popular than that. And next year it was about 1,200, and last year it was closer to 2,000, if I'm not mistaken. It was just an enormous amount of turkeys. And the one thing y'all don't do is you don't demand that they fill out a card. If they want to, they're welcome to do that. If they want to come into the showroom, you do bribe them a little bit with burgers and things like that, which is perfectly okay. And it's just so friendly. Just come in, pick up your turkeys and what have you.
You know what's great? We see 12 passenger vans coming through, and they open the door of the 12 passenger van, and there are literally 12 E-class military in fatigues, all showing their military ID, and we literally put 12 frozen turkeys into that van, and whether or not they want to come in or not and shop makes no difference to us. We want to thank them for their service, and especially while they're away from their families, if they can get together and have a great Thanksgiving, then that makes us happy.
Well, of course, you do have the secret weapon that every afternoon at 2 o'clock you bring out the secret weapon.
That's right. We every day at 2 o'clock we bake fresh baked cookies, but that's just a small part. We have popcorn, cappuccino, coffee, free Wi-Fi. We have little DVD, individual DVD players for children and adults that just want to get away. And we have multiple waiting areas. It's not a standing room only. And, just a wonderful place to buy a car, wonderful, even better place to service your vehicle. So.
Well, thank you very much. And how do we get in touch with you and how do we find you?
I-10, exit 543. Just minutes from 1604. You can check us out online at toyotaofbernie.com or call us 210-870-1800.
Have a really great day.
Since 2009, the Alamo AFCEA chapter has been proud to support our military men and women right here in San Antonio, with a focus on the mission that makes up the core of this community: cybersecurity and information assurance, intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, medical IT and education and training. Our members are active duty, retired and veteran military personnel, government civilians and professionals in industry and academia, all committed to the ideals of a strong national defense. AFCEA is the Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association. Find out more at www.alamoafcea.org.
San Antonio is...
John Thurman here of Heart of Texas Realty, and that was our good friend Milton Glick there, was getting ready to start my commercial, but I'm going to do it live because, what a great time it is to buy real estate in San Antonio. I know you probably heard the news, and it is true, inventory is drying up in San Antonio. We haven't been building a whole lot of new houses, but we've been bringing a lot of folks into San Antonio, so inventory is a little tighter now than it has been, but mortgage money is readily available. I will also suggest to you that you want to make sure that you talk to your realtor about what mortgage company to use, because some of them are a little tighter than others as far as their ability to get a deal closed. So you want to make sure that you look forward to all of those details, deal with only professionals, and deal with the people that you can sit and actually find the same person on the telephone today that you talked to yesterday. But in the meantime, give me a call. I do have a military discount, 481-6767. John Thurman, Heart of Texas Realty, and I will bring you home. Now, welcome back here to Military City USA Radio. John Thurman here of Heart of Texas Realty, and I guess the shout-outs continue here with the people that are checking in with us this morning, six or eight of them, right?
That's right, John. And but we got to pay for the show, and this portion of our show is brought to you by Port San Antonio, the world-class aerospace port and business park that is a key engine for San Antonio economic development, the most successful base realignment and closure conversion ever, and we want to remind you about a great event that will be happening at the port during Fiesta.
Fiesta de los Niños is coming again, Saturday, April 20th from 10 to 6 on the grounds of Port San Antonio. Join the community for a day full of clean family fun. There will be lots of carnival rides, midway games, live entertainment, food and craft vendors, and even a classic car show and parade starting at noon. The Classic Car Show is being hosted this year by the USO. Best of all, admission and parking is free. That's right, a day full of fun awaits the young people in your life at Fiesta de los Niños, Saturday, April 20th from 10 to 6 at Port San Antonio. Just take General Hudnell or General McMullen off Highway 90 and follow the signs into the port. For more information, go online to fiestadelosniños.com. That's Saturday, April 20th. Admission and parking are free. FiestaDeLosNiños.com.
News Talk 930 KLUP. The Loop, your voice in San Antonio.
And you are listening to Military City USA Radio, FCA Military City USA Radio, here on News Talk 930 KLUP. Our guest this morning is Major General Fred Rudesheim, who's Commanding General of U.S. Army South. And General, we're going to get right into Army South's mission. You've been in command now for about 5 months, and recently you revised Army South's mission. Tell us about the revision and what now is your mission, vision, focus, and priorities for your command.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Mark. The mission revision was really driven by an effort to just get the team united behind what it is that we're about. And we did not significantly alter the mission, but I would say we reprioritized, reordered some of the aspects of it. Let me get into it. What do we do? What is our mission statement? Let me try to put it in plain speak. You know, we support multinational operations throughout our area of responsibility, and I should quickly say what that is, which is Central America, South America, and the Caribbean. So 31 countries. And so we will either conduct or support multinational operations, that is, with other nations of the region. And then we'll also do security cooperation, and that's really just partnering, in another word. And we do that for our combatant command. That's who we work for directly, which it's called Southern Command, headquartered out of Miami, Florida, which is a joint command. And we are the Army component. We're the Army part of that. And we do it in order to what? To counter, fight transnational threats. Those are the threats that might attack us or somehow imperil our nation, and strengthen regional security and in large measure all of that to defend the homeland. So we have a region that is connected via this land bridge to the United States of America, and so it's of paramount importance that we can protect it, and so we see ourselves as protectors of the southern flank. You said, well, what about priorities? Talk to me about those. Well, I've got enduring priorities. I've got enduring priorities that I have laid out so that everybody understands, you know, what the beacon is. Where do you head? First and foremost is contingency readiness. We've got to be ready when called to be a headquarters in response to perhaps humanitarian disasters, perhaps a mass migration, or a range of others that there are plans existing for. There also has to be this primacy of partnering. If we are going to operate effectively in this region, we must partner. Can't go it alone, because there is sovereign territory throughout, and we can only do it through a partnership with the other nations and those armies. And then we have to have mission resourcing. You know, the Army does a lot of the bill paying in the region. A lot of the aspects of what's going on in the region, the military groups and the embassies, we do a lot of resourcing for them, and my headquarters takes care of them. And then we have to be responsive. I've been directed by the Chief of Staff of the Army, General Raymond Odierno, to make sure that we're flexible, agile, and responsive. And when General Kelly calls, General Kelly, a Marine who is my boss at Southcom, calls me and says, Fred, I want you to do something. The answer is yes, sir, and we'll figure out how to do it.
You covered a lot of waterfront there, sir, with a couple of the questions or the couple of the comments that you had. You said if there is a national disaster or mass migration, take it those are things that y'all prepare for fairly regularly. Is that part of what y'all did when you did a naval station at Guatemala joint exercise?
Right. Guantanamo Bay.
Guantanamo Bay. Yes.
Yeah, we visited
Gitmo.
Visited beautiful Guantanamo Bay, Cuba recently, and it was for an exercise in order to prepare us for a potential mass migration. And so we deployed there, the headquarters deployed there, and then we operated for about 10 days in order to hone our skills should there be a mass migration in the region.
General Rudesheim, the recent one of the questions I wanted to ask you from one of our listeners is the recent demise of Hugo Chavez. obviously has gotten the attention of all of South America. And what impact has that had on Army South's mission?
Does that create a leadership void?
Short answer is the impact is negligible at the moment. With the passing of President Chavez, his vice president is the acting president until elections. And the elections are a very short string from now until their elections. Their elections are from time of his passing, 90 days until they have to do the elections. So, in some things aren't changing at all in Venezuela. Don't predict them to change because his vice president, Vice President Maduro, will continue to carry the same banner of President Chavez.
So they were fairly well prepared then, is what I'm saying. It was not just a single point person in leadership. They had some leadership depth.
Well, I'm not gonna opine too much about their depth. I think that there was, up until the very end, there was reporting that Chavez was actually getting better and that this was much to do about nothing. And he, let there be no mistake, he was the one man running the show, and no one else actually was even a close second to him. And so thrusting his vice president forward at this point was actually one of the almost a last minute thing. But that said, the mechanisms that President Chavez had in place are still in place.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. General Rüdesheim, I'll bet you spend a lot of time on the road, travel frequently to your area of responsibility. Describe for our listeners the relationships that U.S. Army South has with your counterparts in Central and South America.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Our relationships now are Army to Army, because I am United States Army South, and as I explained to them, the United States Army is a very large entity with many responsibilities of global in scope. But the one thing you can count on is Army South to be focused on you. We are that unblinking eye that is focused to the South and to our partner nations. And we've got great relationships with some nations. We are building relationships with others. And we are trying to initiate or build bridges with those that we have not had with some time. But, I mean, we've got some very, very close partnerships in the region. And again, the notion is that we want to be the best partner possible. There's competition. Make no mistake about it, Mark. There's competition in the region. You've got alternatives. They have alternatives. That is China. They've got Russia. They've got Israel. They've got Iran. Not all of these are aggressive partnerships, but we're in a competition in our own backyard, and they'll go for whoever gives them the best deal, and we've got to compete well.
Okay, well, China has been in the news a lot with Panama. That's a major influence in that area, I assume.
It has. So China, listen, I'll stay in my lane, as we say.
But, I hear you.
But China is growing in importance. But let me be more precise in my language. Not militarily. The Chinese influence in the region from all of my study,
is economic,
and they come bearing not words. They come bearing contracts, and so we're still by far the economic leader in the region as far as trade goes, but they're closing fast. I mean, we're going to look in the rearview mirror one day, and they're going to be on our tail unless we pick up our game.
General Rüdesheim, it was not too long ago that U.S. Army South relocated to San Antonio. If I'm not mistaken, you were in Puerto Rico. And, things happened down at Roosevelt Roads Navy Yard, and there was a whole change in the military in Puerto Rico. But describe your impression of why San Antonio is such a good home for U.S. Army South.
Well, look, it's like, I know it's going to sound like I'm playing to the audience, but Here he goes.
That's okay.
We'll allow you to do that.
I'm just saying, I've been around the Army a while. I've been in some great communities. Like I said, I've been in Texas three times, all in Killeen and Coppers Cove and Belton and Central Texas community. Really a warm Central Texas community there and really impressive. And I'd only visited San Antonio. I had no occasion to be stationed here previous to this assignment. And again, with a short 5+ months of being here, I'm starting to realize why they call it, Military City USA, because you've got a very natural, honest, open warmth towards all things military, and it's not that way everywhere. And so, I mean, this is a fantastic location. It's a natural location. In fact, it's one of those, if we could have skipped the middle step on this and gone straight to San Antonio, just because sometimes in the old better to be lucky than good column, landing in San Antonio was probably the best possible thing we could do after we departed the region when we left Panama.
Well, we kind of like that. Thank you, sir.
We got one last question for you. Yes. Military City USA. Thank you, John. We got one last question. How big is U.S. Army South?
Well, we've got let me give you the short answer.
He's putting the big old.
It's a moving target.
Yeah. We can have folks join us, as you were. They can come and be part of Army South. So I've got about 850 folks that operate out of my headquarters daily. And I've got about a third of those are our fantastic civilian workforce, and the rest of them are, as we say, green suitors, in the Army. And then we have a number of other units that work for us or we have operational responsibility for. So that number fluctuates, but it's in about the 3,000 range that when you talk about all the ancillary units that we are also responsible for.
Well, it's time for the AFSEA break. Excuse me, here on Military City USA Radio, John Thurman of Heart of Texas Realty, and we are interviewing Major General Frederick Rudesheim. He's Commanding General of the U.S. Army South in Fort Sam Houston and Joint Base San Antonio. And again, I just want to reiterate, I've learned a lot about what this organization does, and it's absolutely critical to protecting our southern borders and to protect keeping our relationships in the region strong. Thank you very much, General Rudesheim, for your service, and we'll be right back with our AFSEA break.
And good morning, and you are tuned to Military City USA Radio here on News Talk 930 KLUP. We are the AFSEA Military City USA Radio Show, and I'm Mark Fry, the Port Authority of San Antonio. My co-host is John Thurman of Heart of Texas Realty, and today in studio we have Major General Fred Rudesheim, who is the Commanding General of U.S. Army South. General Rudesheim, undoubtedly, you spend lots of time exercising and conducting practice operations. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the ones you're engaged in.
Well, we've already discussed the one that we recently concluded at Naval Station Guantanamo. We've got a couple of exercises, very important ones, coming up in El Salvador and Panama. They're part of an exercise series called Beyond the Horizons, and these are exercises that have a very useful and practical outcome. We have state partnership National Guard units, engineer units, that will go to designated countries, Panama, Salvador in this case, and they will be there for about a three-week to a month period and will do designated engineer projects, building a school, improving a road, building wells, and these will be in concert with, whenever possible, the engineers of that nation's army as well. So it works a partnership theme in. But these are extremely well-received exercises that we have.
Is U.S. Army South, let me back up. When we first started the show, we were on literally right after the earthquake hit in Haiti, and we interviewed your predecessor from Haiti and then had him in studio, General Trombetas, and give a shout out to him because we now know he's down in Mexico doing great things. But how is U.S. Army South preparing? Should there be another earthquake or natural disaster like the earthquake in Haiti?
Again, thanks, Mark. I tell you that what we have to do is be ready, first and foremost, so that we can be the command and control headquarters that will be able to support our response should it be requested. This is a key point. Should it be requested by a nation that's been struck by a natural disaster, since that's the theme we're on. And so we would have to be able to, literally at a moment's notice, send a command and control node, a communications package with personnel and leadership to establish what, again, we're getting into Army speak, but situational awareness, figure out what's happening on the ground, and then help organize and synchronize our response, that is the response of the American government as we help that nation. And that's something that we're expected to do. We are on the hook to do that. So it's precisely one of the things that we have to practice regularly.
We talked about the fact that U.S. Army South plays very much a military, army-to-army ambassadorship type role. Do your Army counterparts enjoy coming here as much as you enjoy visiting them?
I think every bit as much. We haven't quite taken a poll on it, but I would tell you we just had a Colombian delegation in this very week for our regular Army-to-Army staff talks with the Colombian military. We have these same staff talks with El Salvador, with Chile, and with Brazil, and so we alternate between locations being in-country and then here in San Antonio at our headquarters. It's a fantastic location. When they come here, we have these robust discussions with our partners. It's an opportunity to talk about what we can do to improve our support to them, and in some cases what they can do for us, because sometimes they'll have some skill sets that we could use. And then, of course, we'll have a day where we'll do some touristic things. So, of course, they love to go down to the Riverwalk, and we love showing it to them. We're very proud of that, and we'll do that and show them San Antonio, the greater San Antonio area. It's a fantastic place. I know that they love to come here, and we'll look for opportunities to come here. So from that perspective, again, it's at a very attractive location for our partner nations to come.
One last question before we get any closing remarks. This is the AFCEA Military City USA radio show, and as Tom mentioned, cyber IT is a huge component. Are we assisting any of our South American countries, or have there been cyber incidents in their military?
Cybersecurity is a growing concern. We are fully engaged in cybersecurity and responding to and preparing for cyber attacks, and it's been in the news lately. So that's us as the United States military writ large. Now, it is of growing concern in the region, and more precisely, Brazil, which is a very developed nation and has had a number of some significant events that have occurred that they have had to prepare for, large-scale events, major events, and those are the ones that they're very concerned about cyber attacks disrupting. So they have even more events coming. They are going to be the host of the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup, and they're also going to be, of course, the host for the Olympics. And so they've reached out to us and said, what can you do, since you are practiced in and are working cyber defense, what can you do to help us? And we're doing that. We're assisting them.
Well, General Ruggenheim, we've got a couple of minutes to go. You have any closing thoughts or closing remarks?
Again, thanks for the opportunity to just be here and talk to the folks. It's humbling. It always is to just be in command.
I love to be in command. Okay, for the folks that are on staff, sorry, but you know, anything other than command is just professional purgatory. You know, you just have to bide your time until you can be in command again. And so I'm just having the time of my life. I'm so fortunate to be here. Peggy and I just love San Antonio, and I am super, super proud of the folks we have working for us. We're doing an extremely difficult job of staying engaged with the partner nations of Latin America, giving them an opportunity to reach us. We are focused on the region 24/7, and I have got some of the most professional, just the greatest folks that you could possibly ask to work for that are self-starting, self-energizing, both civilian and military, that make the job much, much, much easier. So I'm super proud of them. I'm super proud of their families, and I really appreciate all the work they do.
Well, it's time to come to Parade Rest on this week's edition of Military City USA Radio. Thanks to our guest, Major General Fred Rudesheim, Commanding General of U.S. Army South. Thank you for your service and for all you do.
And we'll be back next week with another